Welcome to the Investment Answers Podcast. I'm Travis Turlaw.
And I'm Kelly Turlaw, and we're glad you're here.
We're a real couple that owns an actual financial planning firm.
Travis is a certified financial planner, an independent investment advisor representative, and the company's founder and CEO.
And Kelly is the chief operations officer, not only at Investment Answers, but also for our family.
A couple that works together stays together. Well, that might not always be true, but it works for us.
But that's why we make such a good team. I have the language and know-how to navigate this industry, and you're the total paranoid cynic.
All right, there's a lot going on there. Enough about us. What are we talking about this week?
So, I've been thinking a lot about retirement.
Oh, really? Like your retirement or just retirement in general?
Well, I've been thinking about how often people have an idea of what they want their retirement to be like. Oftentimes, they've really visualized it or even talked about it being a certain way over their lifetime with friends or family.
Well, especially those harder physical jobs like linemen or really stressful jobs where someone is counting down the days until they say, I am out of here and I am never coming back.
I get those.
I'm sure you probably have a lot of conversations with people and they say they just want to play golf every day or go fishing every weekend with their grandkids.
Oh, yeah. Family often does play a big role in how people visualize their own retirement. Or traveling. Traveling is a big one.
Yeah.
A lot of our clients have hobbies that they really love and they want to devote more of their time to those. Many want to start a business or they're into arts and crafts or they like to farm, so they want to be in the farmer's market. And it's interesting for me having these conversations with so many types of people where they're articulating what they see their future as. So my goal is to help them have a successful financial foundation and help them understand the dollars of retirement so that when they do retire, they know what they can actually afford.
Well, honestly, helping people understand what kind of retirement they can actually afford is such a big part of the value that we bring to pre-retirees and retirees.
Oh, absolutely. Because they have these hopes and dreams before retirement, but then they have their reality.
Yeah, which could include a lot of expenses that can really force their hand into what type of retirement they can afford.
Yeah, and that really drives to the point of what I was thinking about. So the baby boomer generation is oftentimes working during their retirement years in much larger numbers than their parents were. Part-time retirement is a phenomena that is much more likely now than for, let's say, the greatest generation.
Well, people go back to work for lots of reasons. I mean, many of them go back because they end up being bored when they retire. They absolutely hate it.
Right. They just need something useful to do.
Yeah. Well, there's always that honey-do list.
Right. Yeah. So remember, my dad is a great example. He's retired, I don't know how many times, but every time he retires, his honey-do list for mom keeps getting longer, so he just goes back to work.
I would, too, if I had her honey-do list. Well, you know, your dad was also an entrepreneur, and when he sold his company, he actually went back to work in order to have affordable health insurance.
Right, that's right.
Well, honestly, their health insurance premiums were skyrocketing at the same time they were having some pretty significant health issues. So going back to work was great for him because it kept him busy. Mm-hmm. He was useful to his community and his job provided a great healthcare plan for him.
Right.
So going back to work was an affordable way for him to have healthcare.
Right. And, you know, people go back to work for many different reasons. I often tell my highly skilled clients not to make too many drastic decisions right at the beginning of their retirement
because
they might get a call from their company begging them to come back in some sort of a different position, maybe part-time or as a consultant where the stress is a lot less. And oftentimes they do take those positions. And while they're not working as much as they were before, they're actually working where they never thought in a million years they'd work once they actually retired.
Well, again, here's another area where you provide a lot of value for your clients because going back to work can provide many opportunities, but also a lot of challenges there for the individual, for their families, and so on.
Right. Well, historically, people who would work in their 60s, 70s, and 80s either really loved what they did.
The I'll never retire people.
Exactly, right. Or they were financially in the middle or lower class where they likely didn't have a pension to help fund their retirement years or they had a financial catastrophe that forced them back to work. But now part-time retirement is a reality for people in all income classes, whether lower, middle, or upper. But nowadays, people are living longer, so they need to make their money last as long as possible. And people are a lot more active now in their 60s, 70s, and 80s than previous generations. And frankly, they have a certain standard of living that they're hoping to maintain.
Yeah, 60 is the new 40.
It really is. And that's one of the unique challenges with many retirees today. So life expectancy keeps growing, so the responsibility falls on them and how they can make their retirement as comfortable as humanly possible.
Yeah.
So if you remember, I talk about this a lot, in March 2015, Time Magazine had this cover, and it was the picture of a baby's face. And it said, this baby could live to be 142 years old. So imagine if you retired when you were 65, but you lived to 120, you would actually be retired longer than you were in the workforce.
And that could actually be a reality. What's the statistic that you have about the likelihood of living into your 90s?
Right. So if you're a married couple, each age 62, there's a 24% chance likelihood that one of you will live to be 95.
95 years young.
Exactly. But if you think that's wild, did you know that in 2009, the same study came out and there was only a 15% chance that one of them would live to 95? So as of 2016, that number jumped from 15% all the way up to a 24% likelihood.
I did not realize it was such a big jump. Uh-huh. So if you retire when you were in your late 50s or 60s, that's a possible scenario. I mean, even today, especially if you have longevity in your family.
Right. Well, keep in mind, the average life expectancy for a man born in 1900 was only 47. And for a woman, it was 49. So there wasn't really much time for retirement back in those days.
Yeah.
And in 2002, the Department of Labor came out with a study that said, in 1980, 60% of the companies had some sort of a defined benefit plan.
Which is a pension.
Is a pension. However, when the 401k was introduced in 1978 by Congress, defined benefit plans began to drop significantly, placing the brunt of the responsibility on the worker.
Which we talk about at length in our Episode 3 podcast, Happy Birthday Roth IRA, and in Episode 4, the Roth IRA versus traditional IRA.
Exactly. Now, with life expectancies for men and women in their 80s and likely no pension to fall back on, the idea of working during retirement is that much more of a reality.
Well, the number one question you get asked with every new person or couple that you meet is, can I afford to retire?
Right. And if not can I, they ask, when can I afford to retire?
True.
So there are a lot of parameters that we have to look at to determine if and when they can actually retire. However, when the topic of working during retirement comes up, there's a few questions I seem to repeatedly get. For instance, the first one is, how will this affect my taxes? Okay. The second one is, how will this affect my Social Security? Because obviously we know that Social Security is that income that you receive into retirement.
It's a big one. It's guaranteed even by the government.
Right. And the third one is, if I go back to work, when should I start to take my Social Security?
I don't know if people realize this, but if you take Social Security and you're not at your full retirement age and you're working or you go back to work, you're limited in how much income you can earn without a penalty from that Social Security benefit. Mm-hmm. I mean, people just take it because they think that Social Security is going to become insolvent, so they need to get as much money from it while they can. Uh-huh. But they end up leaving a lot of money on the table, potentially.
I know. So let me give you some statistics to help you decide whether or not you should take Social Security before your full retirement age, if there's a possibility that you may go back to work.
And you never know, which is why you got a plan.
Right.
Your flexible plan.
Right. And I always tell people, wait a couple of months right after retirement, just to give yourself an idea. If there's ever a possibility of going back to work, then take that and see how that's going to affect. But let me give you some statistics here.
Yeah, go for it.
So individuals between the ages of 62 and full retirement age lose $1 for every $2 they earn over $17,040.
So, break it down. If you've earned income of $20,000, let's say in 2018, and you're receiving Social Security benefit before your full retirement age, you lose, what, almost $1,500 of your benefit that year? Mm-hmm. That's just silly. That's why you need to make a plan to avoid that kind of insanity.
Right. Well, keep in mind, not everyone realizes that they might go back to work.
That's true.
Again, people don't realize they may have a part-time retirement So that's why having a well-thought-out financial plan for retirement that's flexible is so very important.
It's also really important to stick to your financial plan, because if you spend more than you can afford because shopping becomes mm-hmm. your retirement hobby, or you chose some activities in retirement that are really expensive and you haven't budgeted for it, or like health issues, you know, those are really expensive and you never plan for those, that can wreak long-term havoc on your financial well-being as you're aging.
And just because you're living longer doesn't mean your quality of life is that great. So you really don't want to go back to work because you overspent frivolously.
Or emergencies. Uh-huh. Those pop up out of nowhere. So you really do have to plan to absorb some of those expenses.
Yeah. So the other big question I get is, how will this affect my taxes?
It's a big one.
Right. So keep in mind, working while in retirement and taking Social Security benefits can not only pop you into a higher tax bracket, but it can make more of your Social Security income subject to taxation, okay? So if you're a single and you make more than $34,000, or a married couple filing jointly and make more than $44,000, then 85% of your Social Security benefits are subject to federal income tax.
Which defeats the purpose of Social Security, because it's such a tax-preferred vehicle.
Such a big tax benefit.
For retirement income.
Social Security income, yeah.
So you're undoing that benefit that mm-hmm. you worked so hard to accumulate over your lifetime. And if you take it early, before full retirement age, you're getting so much less money than you'd be entitled to if you could have waited.
Right. And again, keep in mind that some people, they just will have to report that 85%, because they might have a pension, or they might have investment income that pops them up over that $34,000 or $44,000 threshold. So sometimes you just can't help it. But in certain instances, you actually can delay that Social Security benefit and put yourself in a better position where you're receiving a more tax-preferred benefit later on in life. So just something to keep in mind when you're planning for the first few years into retirement.
Well, it's really strategy, like chess. You got to get in there and you got to, you know, play the game, basically.
Right, right. Well, this leads me to the third common question that I get. So that is, if I go back to work, when should I take my Social Security? Mm. We just talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a question that's very powerful, where the opportunities of high-level financial planning can really be personalized specifically for them so that they can get what they need, right?
The most
out of their benefit.
Yeah.
And many times, taking all of their circumstances into consideration, if a client decides to go back to work, along with utilizing their retirement assets optimally, they can delay taking Social Security benefits, therefore increasing that guaranteed income stream for later in life. What I talk a lot about is bridging the gap.
Right.
So some people, they'll retire at 60. Well, you're not eligible for Social Security. So we might use, maybe if pension benefits are available, or if they have deferred compensation available that we can use that for.
Or part-time retirement.
Or part-time retirement, where we can find what their retirement income needs to be and then facilitate that, knowing, and I say this all the time, I say, just keep the Social Security as an ace up your sleeve.
Right.
When you turn 62, you can always take it, but the longer you delay it, the more money you get. Okay. So in fact, a person who waits until full retirement age will receive 1/3 more benefit than someone who took it at 62.
Well, I should mention, if somebody wants to find out what their full retirement age is, they can always check out the ssa.gov website, mm-hmm. which keeps those numbers updated as they change.
Right, and it's really easy to get on there.
They do change,
but it's easy to get on there, set up your account. A lot of times people used to receive their Social Security statements in the mail once a year.
Right.
It was a 3 or 4 page trifle. It was green and black. But they don't do that anymore, at least not
cutting those costs. Saving the millions
so
by cutting the pennies.
You can get online and you can set up your account and you'll be able to see real time what your benefit's going to look like.
Yeah.
So ultimately, what I want people to take away from this is that you may need more money in retirement than you actually expected.
That's true.
Honestly, you should work as long as you can, because you may need more money in retirement than you actually thought. But if you're thinking about taking Social Security, or if you're wanting to do some tax planning, you really do need to do some financial planning to optimize your finances so that they can last you as long as possible throughout your golden years.
You don't necessarily have to go back to a job that you hate either. I mean, try to find something that brings value to your life or some way that you can bring value to your community as well as some additional money.
Look, part-time retirement is a powerful financial planning tool. You just want to ensure that it's working in your favor and not against you.
So, Travis, what if people want to learn more?
Well, Kelly, I'm glad you asked. For more information on this or any other topics we've discussed, or to check out our disclaimer, go to www.investmentanswers.net or email us directly at info@investmentanswers.net. Investment Answers, leave uncertainty behind. Until next time, I'm Travis Turlaw.
And I'm Kelly Turlaw.
And thanks for listening.